This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the first string, the first team Fulhamish podcast and sub. Firstly, Dom Betts,
hello.
Guy Barlow and George Cooper joining me in the studio for what is a joy for George to have a first team call up tonight. This is not a cup appearance, but there is so much to talk about on the show. You may think it is the international break. No, 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 not on this, the Fulhamish podcast, the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. We're going to be doing an international roundup, looking at the five fixtures before November international break, and obviously looking at the game on the weekend against Stoke, and my favourite part, the listeners' questions. The tradition continues because there is no free word review. I've campaigned for a free word preview. Dom will not have
George
it.
George didn't have time to write his essay today.
What is this? It's been 30 seconds into the show and I'm getting lambasted left, right, and centre.
And this is a 60-minute show. Guy, I want to ask you, what do you make of my idea of the free word preview for games? When there is an international break, not every week. You're not a fan?
No, not at all.
You is my strongest bet. I really hoped.
What, pre-word previews? No.
Right, well, terrible. That's the end of that. Terrible.
Just put it in the bin. Straight away.
Trash, it's over. Yeah. The woat of ideas. Let's do an international roundup then, Dom, because there were Fulham players in action. What did you like? What did you see? And what were you pleased with?
Well, I've seen Mitrovic scored about 8 billion goals in the space of about two games. I think, was it got four in two games, I believe it was?
I think six in his last four.
Yeah, six in his last four, which is ludicrous. His goal-scoring record for Serbia is about 30 goals in 50 games. I think he's only three away from surpassing their all-time goal-scoring record. I presume that was when they separated, because otherwise that would be a ridiculous goal record. But I think a good point to bring up with Mitrovic is that, obviously, his striking rival is also Yuka Jovic, who's moved to Real Madrid, hasn't had the greatest start. I don't think Jovic even got into the September squad. He was had that poor start to the season. Then was like, oh, we've got a Real Madrid striker. Why isn't he starting? I was like, if you've got a player who's got 30 goals in 50 games, I don't really know why you're complaining. He single-handedly improved someone's life in Prague when someone had a little tipple, and Mitrovic was the winning leg of that tipple. So it was very, very, very helpful. But Mitrovic, yeah, I think this season has shown that he is just an excellent number nine, an all-round number nine. You know, he isn't just a player who can hold up the ball, he can score the goals for them as well, and he can really lead his team by example.
Yeah, he certainly can. Obviously, making the international break, he's making the most of it, shall I say. I wanted to quickly ask you, before we look at the other players, sometimes on other fan shows, not the Fulham fan show, they say, I hate the international break. I don't want our players playing. I don't want them getting injured. It's only about the club game on the weekend. 3 points there. How do you feel about it? Is there a sense of pride when you see them? Because, yes, they're representing their country, but they are representing Fulham as well. But there is obviously a tinge of worry because of the injury concerns. How do you feel about it, Guy?
To be honest, I don't ever think about the injury aspect of it, nor am I, like, feel a sense of pride necessarily because I'm concentrating on England, you know? Mm. So, like, if I see it, read a report that Mitro scored a couple of goals, I'm like, great, you can carry out that form into the next club game. The only worry would not even injuries, just be like tiredness. Because I feel like after the last international break, he was actually a little bit tired in that game. I believe at home to West Brom was the game after that last break, and he did look knackered. So that's the only thing I would worry about, especially if they do a lot of travelling. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, especially for a striker like Mitro, you know, scoring is great. You want to carry on that form for as long as possible.
Fatigue is a huge concern, especially in the Championship when it is a 46-game season. But when you see players doing well on an international break, if they're not in that Fulham starting lineup, like George has been called up to the Fulham starting lineup this evening, if you're not in that starting lineup, does it make you think maybe we should change the way we look at the game on a weekend? Do you ever think if players play well on international duty, Fulham have a selection headache, or it's a completely different game and idea, George?
I think that if you've got, for a team like us in the Championship, if you've got a player that is good enough to be selected for their international side, it's a no-brainer that they're going to be in or around the squad.
Ibrahima Sissé.
Touché. Touché. But I'll mirror what Guy said. I think that I don't pay any attention to it, and you could argue with the injuries, but it's all part and parcel of being a professional footballer. You know what I mean? This is what they do. They've got to be ready to sort of take every game that comes at them. I don't really, as I say, I only just look at England and then I'll see, you know, the little recap that they do on the Fulham website, but I don't pay an awful lot of attention to it. And I'm proud to see Fulham players that do get called up to their international squad. So I'm all for it. Yeah.
If there's any players, though, in closely battles, you know, oh, we should be starting him, but he gets the nod, maybe that international break could be the difference, Dom?
Necessarily not the difference, but it means they're going to continue playing. Their sort of performances aren't going to stutter. I don't understand why any fans would be bothered with players go away on international duty. You know, international is the pinnacle of the game if you think about the World Cup. And, you know, if you're looking at the likes of Mitrovic of Serbia, Tim Ream for the USA, you know, even if Tyrus Francois could have eventually made it into the Australia first team, these are teams who constantly reach the World Cup. These are Fulham players to be playing in World Cups. And that's what you want to see. It's the biggest, you know, part, it's the biggest thing in the sport. So I think it's great to see the players. I mean, you're seeing these Fulham players, you know, playing at the highest level. And I think that's a great thing to see.
I'd almost be interested to see if international form ever gets carried into league form. Like, because you remember last year, Stefan Johansson was having blinding games for Norway and then wasn't playing for us. So I would even question as to whether the management, or maybe our management last year, even take any notice of it themselves. If Stefan Johansson would score, you know, two or three goals in the Spain game, would he be a dead cert for our game against Stoke? I don't know. What do you think, boys?
I don't think it's as big a thing as it possibly could be noticed, because they're still, I understand they're not playing for your team in a system you want to be playing, but they're still playing at a very high level, arguably higher than what Fulham are playing at right now. So you'd argue that it should have a big factor, especially if you're in the Championship, if you've got players in the European qualifiers, you know, not playing against the likes of San Marino and Faroe Islands, but they're playing the likes of, you know, Spain and getting a good point against them. So yeah, I think it should take a part. And for me, Johansson would be in our starting midfield anyway. But I feel like, yeah, it's great to see the Fulham players do it on the international stage, because it means they do have the ability to play at the highest level, which clearly Mitrovic and the likes of Tim Ream and Johansson do.
Yeah, I certainly hope that Tim Ream's form doesn't carry over, because apparently he had an absolute shocker for the USA against Canada.
But he always has a shocker every time he plays for them.
Is actually back to George's point, because he's saying even if he has a shocker for his country, he's still going to play on the weekend, or he's
going to get dropped.
Yeah, it's not going to affect his form for Fulham.
Yeah, but again, like, if he's, you know, he's flying across North America, isn't he? Like, that travel aspect is mad, really. Like, how many days is he going to have back at Fulham training, preparing for, you know, a big game in our season? Probably one or two, which is not ideal, really, is it? Like, especially for a central defender. But yeah, I mean, the point overall is that I don't have a problem with it. And as Dom said, that competitive nature of it is really important. Like, these games are a level above the Championship, and they're more important to these countries. And like, we're at the business end of the qualifying now as well. So that,
yeah, there's some teams only have one, possibly two qualifying games left. Depends what, obviously, group unit, if you're in a group of five or group of six. And, you know, yeah, it is the business end of the season. And you know, there's no playoffs. You can't whisk it. It's just like the top two teams in each group go through, and that gives you 20 teams out of 24, and then the Nations League in March will decide the rest. So, yeah, it's great to see these players playing in these competitive games, because, in essence, these qualifiers mean more than the next five Fulham games. I know they are big games for Fulham, but these, you know, are on an entire country's hopes of getting to a European Championships next year. So, you know, it's great to see them playing in these massive games when it comes to, obviously, our European League-based players.
Well, it's just so true, because you're saying the games matter now. We're at the business end of the qualifying campaign, which Guy said. So depending on whether these players qualify with their nations, you know, it can affect Fulham in a sense that Scott Parker might have to put that arm around a couple of players if they haven't performed well, like Ream, or if they've not qualified with their country, which is the pinnacle, as you said, Dom. They might be a little bit down, and he may have to take that because it affects their mental state. Maybe they're not fit enough to play on a weekend from that standpoint, Guy.
Well, I think it's important for Parker in that, like, he's had players who have been around the training grounds, like how he manages them as well, the players who aren't in international duty, because what are they going to be doing? Like, he can't work on things tactically because he hasn't got a full squad available to him. Does he give them time off? Does he, like, tell them they need to be slamming it in the gym, like staying fit? Like, how does he deal with them, as well as how does he deal with the players in international duty? Like if you'd like to think, maybe it would have been nice if Mitro's, like, scored the winner, last minute winner last Friday night, if Parker would give him a little call, being like, well done, mate, you know,
Do we reckon Parker's the manager to do that? Or is that a thing that managers do? They keep an eye on it. Every player that does go out on international duty. Not necessarily a call, but a little text. Saw that win. I saw that last ditch tackle. Saw the assist, so on, you know. It's nice for a player to receive that, that their club manager is watching them and it's not just some scout that's told him.
Yeah, I can imagine Parker sliding into Micho's DMs.
Yeah. Slamming it in the gym, as Guy said. No pain, no gain. Scott loves it.
Yeah, no, you'd like to think. I mean, it's a sign of good management, really.
It's like when you get a notification on Football Manager, your player scored his first goal for his country. He's like, do you want to give him a praise?
I'm straight up on that thumbs icon. Yeah, let the man know he's done well. If anything, I'm talking about a raise. Yeah, definitely.
Last international break, Parker was flying budget airline to wherever it was, Mallorca, wasn't it? Like, you see that photo of him, like, queuing non-priority on the way back?
Yeah, non-priority on like a Ryanair or an EasyJet flight, Wizz Air maybe, back into London. But
you're Scott, well acquainted with Wizz Air, I can imagine, Dom.
Yeah, very, very, very so. Eastern
man
European
of the people.
Yeah. Too acquainted, you would say.
Well, the other side of the international break is about Fulham. And I want to say, obviously, before the international break, Scott Parker said it's come at the wrong time. We don't know yet, because only time will tell. We'll be able to talk a little bit about that next week, but what have you made of it now? It is back to Championship football this weekend.
I think that I don't think any international break comes at a bad time. Well, for me anyway, it's the best.
Here we go.
You following the way, mate?
This is the Fulham fan show, not Dom's holiday snaps.
Yeah. Dom with his little England bucket hat, travelling the world. Where's Dom now?
Well, back to Blighty.
Let's face it, I'd rather go to Prague than Stoke. Yeah. I'll put it that way. But no, I don't think it can. I think you do need these breaks in a season. I understand players.
You or we do, or the team.
Everyone needs these breaks. But I just think it splits up the games. If you look between, you know, November and March, there is no break there. And that's solid sort of, I understand that is the, when you sort of define your season in that sense, but
that's the GOAT part of the season.
It's important on in these sort of five games you have in between the breaks to go on these runs. And if I think that it hasn't come at a good, it hasn't come at a bad time. I think it's just come at this natural course really here. And we've got
five natural course. Yeah. It means like time of the month or something.
Yeah. We have got five games coming up, and you know, we'll talk about them later, but for me, we should be winning them all anyway. So
winning strong, bold case there, but we have to talk about the five games, because after that international break, it is solid November to March of Fulham and Fulham only. We're going to be talking about those five games next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts, Guy Barlow and George Cooper. We were doing an international roundup, seeing what Fulham players have been on international duty and how they got on. Now, though, we turn our attentions back to Fulham, because it is five games coming up before the next international break. And before we look at those games, you can get involved tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Well, we'll do a deeper dive into the game against Stoke on the weekend when we talk to David from the Wizards of Drivel, which is a Stoke City podcast. But let's look at those five games as a whole. It is Stoke away, Luton at home, Middlesbrough away and Hull at home, then Birmingham away. Five fixtures where there are no easy fixtures in the Championship, but you would say five games with a good chance of going 15 points there, Dom.
Yeah, I said it to Guy and George Affair. If you take these five games in isolation, you would expect to win each of them. If that makes sense, but you know Fulham aren't going to win five games on a bounce. It's one of those weird sort of football conundrums. And I think Guy said, you know, you can't lose any. You can't expect Fulham to lose any of these. You know, they're all against teams who, realistically, I don't think will be finishing in the top six. So for me, I'm not saying we're going to win every one of them, but there's no reason why we can't win all these games if you look at them individually.
Yeah, the point I was making as well was like three of them are away from home. And,
but we seem to be better away from home, to be fair.
Yeah, but you know, like it's in these one, just as if you take them as one-off games, then if you do make it a one-off game, then anyone can beat anyone, you know. So like we might not turn up like we did against Barnsley away, you know. And look how bad Barnsley are. Barnsley got 5 points this season, and three of them came against us. It's absolutely embarrassing. But
and have now fired their manager.
Yeah. The only point the semi-serious point I wanted to make about this run of fixtures is that I would say I've got like a maybe unhealthy obsession with goalkeepers, particularly Championship goalkeepers.
You've not, Guy.
Because I think they're hilarious, right? So we're coming up against the four out of five of the funniest goalkeepers in the Championship.
Oh yeah.
Can we rank them? Can we rank them four to one, guys? Yeah. Let's start with the fourth if we can rank them quickly. Oh.
probably Darren Randolph is really. I just find it funny because he's bald and he plays for Ireland.
Brilliant. Okay,
bald and plays for Ireland.
I was expecting more, if I'm honest, but
he's good as well. And he had that really funny stint at West Ham, where he was.
Well, he looked world class.
Bald and comes from Ireland like Dara Brit.
Who else? Ranked at number three.
Ranked at number three, probably Sluger at Luton.
Funny name.
He's a record signing. Yeah. And he has made so many mistakes. It's absolutely woeful, the form he's been in. It's hilarious. He made like away at Derby, like in the last game, like, you know, the pass back, foot over the ball in. Hilarious. And then we've got Lee Camp at Birmingham. He was the worst goalkeeper in the Championship without ball.
I've got to say, there literally you just went Lee Camp. There was a short pause and that hesitancy. Me, George, and Dom went, "What is he going to say here?" And then you just went, "Worst keeper in the Championship."
Sunderland fans hate him as well. He was part of their relegation season, their back-to-back relegation season.
I mean, who do Sunderland fans not hate?
No, but Sunderland fans regard him as like the worst goalkeeper in their history, like that bad.
That's a strong statement.
So is that with Gabor Kerrali?
And
compare it to Fulham.
Tracky bottoms.
Chris Martin scored against him earlier in the season as well. Like
Chris Martin is a goal machine.
Yeah,
put some respect on his name.
But like Lee Camp, just like the ball was like close to him, he just didn't move. He just like didn't dive or something stupid. And finally,
the big one,
Jack Butlins. Because
wow, he's controversial. You've gone there.
He's single-handedly going to get Nathan Jones a sack.
That's an even bolder statement.
He has made of like six or seven mistakes leading to goals already in like crucial games. He's been dropped
crazy,
and reinstated
it's crazy
already.
About going to the World Cup last season, it was like, him or Pickford.
Yeah.
And is.
They were talking about which Premier League club was going to buy him when they got relegated.
Yeah, but
this is why it's funny, because his form has just fallen off a cliff.
If he, in the summer of 2018, if he left for a Premier League team, he'd still be in the squad. I think there's a really good goalkeeper, because I was more going towards Butlin than Pickford at the time.
I was.
And
agree.
Now what is, if you think, well, I mean, who isn't he behind in now the English pecking order? But
yeah,
it's a very odd situation with Jack Butlin, because you know he's a really good keeper.
So what has happened? I know this is the Fulham show, but you do play Stoke on the weekend. Can we put our finger on it?
I think that knee injury he got, do you remember that knee injury he got in the England game? And he was like properly knocking on the door, and then that happened.
Now he's fallen through the door.
And now he's falling.
It's a trap door.
Yeah, exactly. I think maybe that might have been a turning point, because obviously it's hard to come back, and then it's such a confidence position, goalkeepers, isn't
massively.
It? You feel like every goalkeeper in the top, you know, 40 teams in the Football League, bar these four, they're undeniably a talented footballer, goalkeeper. Otherwise, they wouldn't be where they were. And then all of a sudden, they can have this bad run of mistakes, and then they're looked upon as like these utter clowns and getting talked about on a Fulham podcast.
Well, I know. How bad is it so now? Funny. What a fall from grace that Jack Butlin has just edged that Lee Camp in the goalkeeping rankings by Guy Barlow.
Yeah, let's put it. You can't be losing your place to Adam Federici. Let's put it like that, you know.
Adam,
which is what happened to Jack Butlin. Yeah, hilarious. Hilarious run of form.
Well, let's look at those five games now. We said about in isolation, but we never know how the Championship goes. But out of those five, if you had to pick one, what was the game that, I don't want to say scare you most, because none of them do, but you think there maybe could be a tricky tie there, a little slip up?
I'm thinking Middlesbrough. Even though I know they haven't started well under Jonathan Woodgate this season, I still think Middlesbrough is always a fairly tough side. Our record up there isn't phenomenal. You know, I think obviously we won there in 2018, but that was thanks to a penalty from Norwood in the last minute, which Hunsett was not a penalty. And they should have had one about 5 seconds earlier. But our record there isn't great, and you know, I know it seems the further up north you go, the harder the away game's going to be, apparently. But it is going to be a tough game. But then you know, Birmingham away in recent years, our record there isn't great. It used to be fairly good. There was a game where Breda Hanglund scored twice. So, but yeah, obviously there was the Ryan Fredericks one. There was one on the last game of the season. So yeah, it's the two away games. I'm not too worried about Stoke. I know they beat Swansea, but you know, they've had a terrible start to the season and they've been very, very poor, and they haven't won at home since like March, which only means they're going to beat us 3-0. But I'm looking mainly at Middlesbrough away as the toughest game here.
I 100% agree. Like, they've had a poor start, but it just feels like one of those places that, I know we won there 2 seasons ago, but it feels like one of those places where you're going to go there and lose, you know.
But they've been, I don't want to say terrible, because that's a strong word. I've watched a bit of Middlesbrough this year, and what I have seen of them, I think they've been really poor. I can't put my finger on why, but I just haven't been impressed with Middlesbrough at all this season. I had a feeling that you would choose that as the most difficult, and it is away. But for me, it wouldn't be Middlesbrough. George, who is it for you?
I think that this Fulham side have frustrating draws in them, when you look at the defensive errors that we're still making and our proneness to getting frustrated going forward when teams just sit back. I think we're going to win at Stoke, but I think there's a potential that we might draw that game. I don't think we're going to lose any of them. But yeah, Stoke and Middlesbrough for me stick out as potential banana skins.
A potential banana skin on the weekend for Jules then. Jules mentioned the errors, just trying to get rid of them and the little problems that Fulham can cause themselves, the frustrating draws that he mentioned. How can Fulham get over this? Is that an issue for Scott Parker? Is it for the players? Where does it rest on more, Dom?
I think what it rests on is our forwards be able to, you know, put the ball in the back of the net more often, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think we haven't, above the Millwall game, we haven't really scored that many goals. Like, I understand, you know, we are getting goals. Mitrovic's top goal
and the Reading game.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Those two games. If you look at those two games in isolation, we haven't scored too many goals. And I think it's not like we create a load of chances each game either. I don't feel like we do. I feel like when we are fairly clinical with the ball when we do get it, but it's just we're too passive sometimes with the ball in the middle of the park. So I'm not saying it's about being more direct. I just think it's creating better chances from the possession we have. I think it's what needs to improve. I don't think it's necessarily the way we're playing at the back. I don't think you can put the defence on the goalkeeper or the defence. I think it's about the midfield getting the ball into the attackers in the right positions. And I think because when they are going to go through on goal, you know, they have shown they can score. You know, how many times Cavallaro cutting on that right foot and pinged it top corner. You know, Mitrovic, top goal scorer in the league. So there are goals in it. I just think it's getting the ball into the right areas, basically.
Yeah, shoot. And apart from the Charlton game, when we kind of bombarded them with shots, we haven't really seen that kind of, you know, ultra attacking, just get shot, like shot, really troubling the keeper. It is just, you know, passing, getting a few chances and just being clinical when we can. But I'd like to see the sort of more of the Hail Mary approach and actually get more shots on the ball.
The ruthless approach.
Yeah, exactly.
Brutally taking teams apart. Well, before we get, we've got some answers off Twitter, how many points the fans think that Fulham will get. Let's ask you three first in the studio. Guy, I'll start with you. Those five games, potential of 15 points. What do you reckon?
I think we'll win at Stoke, win at home to Luton, win at home to Hull. So that's 9, and then we'll draw the other two, so 11.
Quick maths.
11 points for Guy there. George, what do you think?
I think we've got 3 wins and 2 draws.
So exactly the same.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from, but I think 3 wins, 2 draws.
But that would be 11 games unbeaten and 11 points from that 15. 11 games unbeaten is very, very good in the Championship. Dom, where do you stand on it all?
Like, I think we should be looking for 15.
100%.
I'm looking at these games, and yes, you can. You if when the teams in the Championship win 5 games on a bounce, but like, come on, it's Stoke, Luton, Borough, Hull, and Birmingham. You're not playing Leeds. You're not playing Swansea, are you? Like, 15 is what we should be aiming for, but we're not going to get that. It's like, it's simple. So I'm looking at it, and
when you say you're not going to get it, obviously it's so hard in football to go 11 games unbeaten, look at those 5 games, say that's 15 points. But it's not out of the question.
No, it isn't.
They couldn't do it, couldn't they?
Out of the question, but I just can't see us sustaining that high-level performance across these, obviously, 5 games. So I'm going to say about 10 is what we're realistically getting in the end.
If you think about it, like, in terms of playoff and automatic form, though, like 11 out of 15 probably gets playoffs. 13 out of 15 probably gets you automatics, isn't it?
Yeah, I think 11 would be playoff form, and it's time for us to stop having playoff form and time to start having top 2 form.
Yeah, well, apparently we do a Leeds fan show on a Friday. They work out the XG. They're all into stats. Apparently, you have to get, on average, 2 points a game to get into the top 2 and 1.84 to get into the top 6. So it'll be interesting to see what Fulham. We will try to get that in the break, and then we will look at what the answers on Twitter on how many points Fulham will get.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
This is the Fulham fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts, Sky Barlow and George Cooper. Well, we were just talking about those 5 fixtures before the next international break, and how many points did they feel they would get? Dom said they should be aiming for 15. Guy and George felt like 11 out of 15, but another 5 games unbeaten, that would be very, very good. And before we look at that Stoke game a little further, we're going to talk to David from the Wizards of Drivel Stoke City podcast. Now though, Don, we've had some answers on Twitter how many the Fulham fans think they will get in that points haul.
Our man Ibs, one of my top fans, came out with Ibs. It's 3-2-1. 12 points, so our beaten run will continue, hopefully. And someone was like, it's impossible to get 12 points to stay unbeaten. Love it. Well in, Adam. Don't worry, it's fine.
That's quick math.
It's very bad math.
Oh, dicks.
There's quite a few 10s. So our own Ben Jarman gave 10. Tonga Gorgeous, 10. Our favourite Richard Solbamba with 11. Michael Cox with 12. Individually, I can see us winning all five, but inevitably will fail somewhere. Double figures needed, though. MJG, pardon the FSC, is need at least 10 and expect 10. And Jonathan was like, that's a good, it's only 15 points to kickstart another run. The Barisha show again with 15 points. Gary Presley, 15. All games we should win if we've been taken seriously. Muzzy Boy with 11. SJ with 11. Sam Crosby Brown with 9 and undefeated. And Sean Foley with 15, no problem.
What would the minimum be out of that five where you'd be like, if you didn't get
10,
a certain...
I reckon.
And if anything less, that's bad in that...
Yeah, I think 10 is not great, but anything less than 10 is just not acceptable.
Guy, George, would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. To anything less than 10, then it's been a failure. Yeah.
Guy, were you going to tell George off then?
No.
No.
I was shocked. But
that strong point from George.
Yeah, failure. It's a strong word, isn't it?
It is a strong word. Is that being bandied about a little too easily, Guy?
In general, in life, or just about Fulham?
Fulham. On the Fulham fan show.
It's a results business, isn't it, Charlie?
It is a results-based business. Yeah. You are right. And one result we're looking for on the weekend, it is the Stoke game. We're going to be joined by David from the Wizards of Drivel Stoke City podcast next.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Don Betts, Guy Barlow and George Cooper. And there is still time for you to get involved tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Ask the Fulhamish team any questions on Fulham, the game on the weekend, those five games, what do you make? What are your thoughts and your points tally from those five games? What is a minimum expectation for you? Well, one man who has joined us, it is David from the Wizards of Drivel, which is a Stoke City podcast. David, thank you for giving us a little bit of your time tonight and giving us the opposition view. Obviously, Stoke are up against it. They're in a relegation zone. They just got a win before that international break. Nathan Jones, his job's on the hot seat. We're hearing 3 games to save it, 2 games to save it. What are your thoughts on the weekend's fixture?
Well, if I had to pick anyone to play after the international break, it probably wouldn't be Fulham, especially with the kind of attacking threat you guys pose.
Thank you.
But after the win against Swansea, maybe the international break came at the wrong time, but there was a certain real positive feeling that that game fostered within the Stoke fans. To go away to Swansea, who were high-flying, and us having not won any of our first 10 games. Like, to say expectations would be an understatement, but we not only got a win, but we got a deserved win as well. And I think, in general, it sounds ridiculous when we're bottom of the league, haven't won any of our first 10 games, but we have had awful, awful luck. And there is a sense that maybe the bad luck is starting to run out now. We've been kind of ridiculous for goalkeeping errors, stupid red card, not taking chances. But like I say, Fulham is not the team I'd pick to play next.
If we're looking at the season so far, what has gone wrong for Stoke? Because obviously if you look at the players on paper, and obviously you can look at many teams on paper in Championship history about teams who shouldn't have gone down, I think in the Sunderland team who are now in League One, when Fulham first came down in after all season 13-14, you wouldn't expect us to just about stave off relegation, obviously. So what do you think has gone wrong this season? Is it just an accumulation of various factors?
It is, yeah. So that bad luck you mentioned, we've got, well, at one time, an England goalkeeper in Jack Butland, and he's made 5 really bad errors this season that have directly led to goals. That is more than pretty much every other keeper in the league will make all season. So that's kind of a ridiculous thing straight out of the gate in bad luck. And then we've been ahead in games, and Joe Allen getting himself sent off against Bristol City within 10 minutes. But it'd be churlish to say it's all bad luck, of course, but that has definitely played a part. And when that kind of builds up, you kind of get this negative mindset, and that's kind of does a few. Nathan Jones isn't blameless by any stretch. I think there was a lot of talk about his 4-4-2 diamond formation when he came from Luton, And we haven't really seen the best of that yet, although it did work well against Swansea. So our kind of weaknesses have been in the fullback areas, which are so essential to the Diamond. Weaknesses have been up front in terms of finishing chances as well. Like you said, we do have a really good squad on paper. I think our midfield, our first choice in midfield, is up there among the best of the league. But it just hasn't worked. And I do have sympathy for the guy, but at the end of the day, Nathan Jones, I think, hasn't really gone, hasn't really backed himself as much as he should have. He should have gone all out on this Diamond, and he's kind of maybe been a bit too cautious, and that cost us, I think.
What does the future really hold for Nathan Jones? Because it seems, excuse me, in his post-match interview, he's resigned about four times.
Yes.
So what does the future hold for him? Is he really, can he be the man to take sort of Stoke up in this division? And obviously, you know, obviously he got the win against Swansea, but does it not seem he's sort of resigned so that he can't really do much better with what he's got?
Yeah, kind of. I think if we lose against Fulham, then he'll probably resign again, to be honest. But I don't know if he can take us up. I think he can turn the situation at a given time. But that's not a thing I expected to say a couple of weeks ago. After we lost at home to Huddersfield Town, who loses to them? After we lost to them, I thought, right, he's definitely gone now. That has to be it. And it was kind of just bizarre that we didn't replace or we didn't sack him anyway before that. So he's very much still on borrowed time, and he needs to put a run of results together as soon as possible. So it's not looking great for him, despite kind of the good feeling after the win at Swansea.
Obviously, you know, not winning your first 10 games, it's difficult to find any positives. But who has, like, stood out individually in your team?
Like I said, I think our midfield is a really good one. And there's two players in particular. Peter Tabo, Nigerian international midfielder, fantastic box-to-box player, really just fantastic drivers forward. He's kind of the heartbeat of the midfield. But there's also Badu and Dai in there, who was at Galatasaray last season. And we thought we'd kind of seen the last of him. We thought he was in the bomb squad. And he's come back. And I think you're hard-pressed to find a more talented midfielder in this division. I think he's been absolutely superb. So those two in midfield. But it's the kind of issues in goal and issues at the other end of the pitch that have been kind of our weaknesses.
David, you mentioned Fulham may be the worst opponent for you to face on the weekend, but where are the areas that you can hurt Fulham this weekend?
Well, I think if we can keep you guys at bay and restrict your kind of your front three and all that going forward, then I think there is a chance that we can like kind of maybe run through the middle with Tabo and Ndai. We are good at bombing forward in certain situations. Like Sam Clucas will pop up with a goal every now and again. It depends who he decides to partner up front with. Lee Gregory. Lee Gregory's a fantastic hold-up player at this level. He'll bring other people into it. It's just about whether we go with Scott Hogan, who got the winner at Swansea, or we stick with Tyrese Campbell up front, who's a young player with a lot of promise. So it will be about just us trying to restrict you and then try maybe knock it long a bit, which isn't really a Nathan Jones. That's more kind of classic Stoke, if you like. Just knock it long and see if Gregory can kind of create some situations for us.
Cool, good stuff. First and foremost, David, thanks once again for your time. Really appreciate it. And as a first-time visitor to Stoke, I'm going to Stoke away. This is the first time. What advice would you give to the travelling Fulham fans who've not yet sampled the delights that Stoke on Trenton has to offer?
Well, it's not quite the walk to the ground that Craven Cottage is, which I've done a couple of times. But for an industrial estate car park, what you can do is try and sample a Staffordshire oat cake.
Right, okay.
So kind of like a...
Sounds
like
dreamy.
I wonder where you was going with that story, David, to start with. I'll be honest. It started with a car park and I got a little bit scared. I'm not going to lie.
It's like visions of the 70s. Who look at it like scraps. And yeah, go on. Sorry, what were you saying?
Yeah. Find an oat cake van somewhere and sample all of them. Cheese and bacon and brown sauce. can't go wrong.
Sounds good. Any good pubs as well that you'd recommend?
None near the ground at all, to be honest.
I think it's Harvester nearby.
Car parks, yeah, no pubs. David, this is all sounding fantastic. I have to put you on the spot, though. Score prediction for the weekend. What do you think?
3-2 to Stoke.
Ooh. Ooh. You're not making any friends in the studio, David, but we can't wait to see you at those really far away pubs and look forward to those cakes on the weekend. David, thank you for joining us. David there from the Wizards of Drivel, which is a Stoke City podcast. He's going for the Stoke City score win 3-2. Not sure if you three will agree with that. I'll start with you, Dom. Before I get your score predictions, how do you think the game will play out?
I do think it'll be a very open game. Mainly because I don't think either team can really defend. So
maybe 3-2 then.
Yeah, maybe a 3-2 either way. So I think that this is the sort of game on where it's like you need to make a point in this game. You need to sort of, I know you're playing the team with bottom of the league, essentially.
Send a statement.
But you can still send a statement by this, because this team beat Swansea in their own ground. So if you can beat this team comfortably, like, by, I don't know, 3-1 or something like that, then they'll make a statement to the rest of the league that we are here to aim for the top two places. And I think Jack said it on the show last week about, you know, this league's there for the taking. And it is, especially in these five fixtures we've got coming up. The league is for the taking. So, yeah, I think it's important that we, you know, don't just wrap a 1-0 win. I think it's important to make a statement in this game.
Guy?
I completely agree. I do fear that it is one of those results, like, you know, that the stars are going to align. It's like they're going to be their first home win of the season, and like we've just come off in that international break that came at the wrong time for both teams, and you know, getting back into the pace of the championship might be difficult. But I guess I'm just echoing what Dom's saying. Like, the league is there for the taking, like especially in these next five games, and hopefully we can get off with the start, even though it is away from home. I do think for all our shortcomings that we might have, if we just score early, I think it's, I know it's so simple to say, isn't it? Like, just score, and then you'll win. Mm. No, but it's like, if we score early, then we can really like dictate the game,
because they have to chase them, pile on the pressure.
Yeah, so it's so crucial for us, and we hardly ever do it. We hardly ever score early, and so that's probably the main thing I try and change about this team, is to really get out of the blocks.
George.
Oh, sorry, man. I was still thinking about those oat cakes.
or that dodgy car park.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful.
No, I think this game's for the taking. And please, can we get a clip of that rallying cry that Jack did last week? It was hilarious. He got himself so...
He did. Yeah, I got a bit scared at one point. Yeah, honestly, yeah. I've watched it back a few times.
It was like a Churchill sort of war speech. It was brilliant. But yeah, Fulham will win this weekend. I'm going for 3-1.
3-1.
I do think we'll concede. But yeah, 3-1, I reckon.
Both teams to score win seems to be the obvious choice. Guy, what do you say?
2-0 Fulham.
2-0 Fulham. You had to go against it. Clean sheet. Dom?
3-2, why not?
Ooh, there you have it. But Fulham win. Obviously, David was saying Stoke win. It's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, we will always cover that on the Fulham Fan Show. Next, though, it is my favourite part. It is listener questions.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts, Guy Barlow and George Cooper. We were talking about the Stoke game on the weekend, the five games coming up before that next international break, and a little bit of an international roundup. Now, though, it is time for the listener questions. And Guy has decided, and rightly so, we didn't have the free word review. So we're going to do these questions in free word answers. If we can,
bring it on.
George is all up for it. And then we'll elaborate on the answers. And the first question this evening comes from Dan Williams. And it is, we have seen multiple different midfield combinations this season, but what is our strongest? Dom.
This is easy.
Yeah. TC, Harrison Reed, Steph, you're answering for me.
There's more than three words, but yeah.
It's
three names.
Three names. There we go.
Johansson, Reed, Kenny.
George.
Johansson, Reed, Arter.
Ooh. let's discuss that now then, because we gave the three word answers.
No,
do you agree?
No, Kenny, I forgot Kenny. Obviously Kenny. Kenny. Kenny, Arter.
Can you understand why I had to deal with last week now? Guys, it's slowly becoming apparent.
Thing, yeah. Kenny.
He's a club captain.
Arter. Johansson. That's what I meant. Kenny, Arter.
I reckon Coops hates Kenny.
No. Hashtag Coop hates Kearney.
And pick his head up off the floor, I think.
Yeah.
Fallen clean off.
Right, well, let's move on. We can elaborate on the next one. This is from Danny Baker. It says, do you think we need to strengthen in Jan? If so, what position? I think striker. That's one word.
New striker, please.
What do we need to improve?
Again, you're at.
I'm not good at this counter stuff, am I?
Go on.
Bobby Deckard over Reed. That's my answer. We don't need to improve anywhere. We've got him.
Okay. The ultimate utility man. Yeah.
These three-word answers, it's just not working.
What,
proper answers.
What, living like Deckard over by Ricky Martin?
What position do Fulham need to strengthen, Dom?
I think left back. Not because Joe Bryan's bad, but we don't have another one.
Okay, yeah, depth.
I think another question is actually to cover that. But yeah, I think depth also in Kearney's position, I think. Because yes, we got Bobby Reed, but I do think Bobby Reed...
Yeah, but you've got Arta, and George loves him, and he prefers him to start.
Him in the number 10 slot. World class, they say.
He's losing his head left, right, centre.
You've got Bobby Reed, but for me, I think he's more impactful for us off the wide sort of areas. And I don't know, we have that number 10 to come in for him. We don't have someone like Lucas Piazon who can just sort of slot in. So, but I do think having left back's a bit of a serious problem. If Joe Bryan gets injured, like, yes, I know we got Dennis Adoy and Guy will say this, but I do think a cover at left back is an option that we really do need.
I would have to agree with that.
I think, but also a cover at right back. I don't think, like, you know, Christie might be.
We've got Marlon Fossey.
Okay,
Fossey.
Sorry, I'll stop that. No, but Christie's likely on his way out, and Stephen says, like, I would say probably just about isn't ready yet.
Well, to be fair, me and Jack Connors made this point at the Fulhamish 200. Don't we made it live, but we did say that if Cyrus Christie had been playing the way that Stephen Sessions has the last few games, he'd be getting criticised left, right and centre. And I would be one of them criticising for it. I mean, I'll go out and say that.
Cyrus Christie's a pro of about 10 years.
That is the point. But yeah. I'm saying it's not like, Sessions, he had a great debut against Huddersfield. But he hasn't been putting 10 out of 10 forms, but I don't think he needs to. He's doing as much as he needs to. Yes, he'd be doing better, but yeah, I think the left-back area, though, is definitely a place where we need to improve, because, as you said, if Joe Bryan gets up, the only really left-footed player he can put in there is Maxime Lamarchand, and he's not really a centre-back or a left-back. He's just a nobody. So.
Well, you've talked about players getting criticised. What about some credit? Because the next question says, is it too early to give Tony Khan some credit for the signings he's made this season?
No, it's not.
Okay. Guy.
Always give credit.
Ooh, credit where credit's due. No, four words. George. You're allowed to give a proper answer.
I think he deserves credit now. I think it's been exceptional, and he's learned from the mistakes
he's
that
done
he made.
His job.
Yeah, ooh. I know, but he's done it well. Like,
he's done it terribly.
We haven't got promoted yet, so you can't say he's done it well.
Unless we get promoted, he's not done a good job.
But that's true of Mitrovic and Kearney.
But the thing is, everyone talks about Tony Khan's recruitment, right? But just because he's got these good level players, but that's not because he's a good recruiter. It's because of the financial state we're in. These players have become available, and it's a good option for him to take up. I don't think that he's, the full credit is for Tony. Yes, he is head of recruitment, so yes, you can argue he's done a good job. But again, until we know what the outcome of the season is, I don't think you can sort of debate whether he's done good or bad in recruitment wise. Yes, these players perform well so far, but for me, unless these players do end up getting this up, then not really, it has been a good summer of recruitment.
And also to say he hasn't done a good job unless we go up, I feel is a little bit reductive, because there are so many other factors that go into play into getting promoted. You could do a fantastic job recruitment, but if you've got a rubbish manager, you're not going to get in, the players aren't playing well.
Yeah, I agree with both.
But recruitment's a long-term thing as well. Like, again, like times what George is saying, like, it's hard to judge it for one season, because we've tied down Mitra and Kenny to long deals, and recruitment, the opposite of recruitment is offloading players, obviously, and he's done that well as well. Like, we've got rid of Seri and
Anguissa.
Anguissa's a weird one, but we've offloaded well and got money for these players, which we might not have got under a different director of football.
Next question. Would you have taken Rooney if he was offered to Fulham, as I'm a little gutted he is at Derby?
Obviously, yes. Of course he takes Rooney. It's like one of those times you're like, yes, what obviously.
That, with or without the betting thing, though?
With. I'd take it if he had to, you know, if he had to... I'm trying to think.
Tommy yeah, just oh, yes. works on the radio.
Yeah. I'd take, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, of course I would, yeah. He's England's top goal scorer of all time.
Do you really need to answer this question? He's England's greatest ever player.
These are listeners' questions, mate. You just need to play the game.
We need to listen more.
Right.
I'm still not convinced. I can't get my head around that. Move even now until I see Rooney wearing that number 32 Derby shirt starting.
We need
I'm not gonna believe,
what's needed is Leicester Derby in the third round of the FA Cup. Vardy against Rooney, done.
Yeah, that's the battle we all want to see. That's the matchup we really want to see.
Derby doesn't have like a toxic drinking culture or anything, so he'll be fine.
Let's move on. Talking of drinking, why does Dom miss so many goals? What is the point of even going, George?
Lager, next question.
Three words, smashed it.
Yeah.
Lager.
No, it's because...
beer.
It's because, as I've said before, I hate club football. No, it's not because I hate club football. Mm. It's just, I don't know, just... Fulham just seem to score near half-time. That's what it is. It's Fulham's fault, yes. Not mine.
You don't want to queue up at half-time?
No, no one wants to queue up at half-time. You can still watch the game on the screen.
They're scoring at half time and then they're leaving at 28 minutes, Dom, you know.
I've never left at 28 minutes. I've gone down after 28 minutes.
You've gone for a walk at 28 minutes.
I've left at 20 minutes to go for one and not come back up. I didn't leave on 25 minutes. I stayed till pretty much 80, 85. So if the concourse is going to continue selling refreshments, then I shall stay there.
Next question. Is MLM a good enough backup for Brian at this level?
I don't think so.
Just no. Don't even need three. Just need one, no.
No elaboration there, Guy. You elaborate for us.
I don't really like that at this level like aspect of it because
okay.
he's a good player. You know, he played in Ligue 1 for like several years, and Ligue 1 is obviously a higher tier than a higher level than the Championship. So he's clearly proven. Like just because he's had like a bad 18 months doesn't mean you know he's a terrible player forever. I just think it's one of those moves that hasn't worked out. You know, like, and can't just, you know, bin him off for playing on a Ranieri.
Okay.
That's a good point, yeah. I personally quite like Le Marchand, and I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, but I like him as in the middle as opposed to out wide left.
Mm.
I don't think he's an adequate replacement to out wide left. I think the only really one we have is Dennis Odoi. So, and Le Marchand's playing and probably training the under-23s at the moment. So, I don't think Massimo Odoi is adequate. I think Odoi's adequate to play in that position, like any of those back four places he can. But as I said earlier, I do think it is a place we should be looking to improve in January, and if not, definitely the summer.
Just very, very quickly, last question. Any possible signings in January? What have you heard?
Michael Hector?
Hey, you are one step ahead of the game, I tell you, Dom.
No, I've heard nothing.
All right, George?
I'm not going to do three-word answers, am I?
No, you don't have to do three-word. You can elaborate now. Have you heard any potential signings? No
not,
rumours?
No. I've not really been looking out for it. It's a bit early doors.
It is still early.
It's like middle of October.
Yeah, it's like when we start...
Those transfers never stop.
Listening like, to Christmas music already. It's like, oh, come on, get out.
Is that not allowed?
Nah, absolutely not.
That would have been a good listener question. Favourite Christmas number one? Well, this has been the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I was joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts, Guy Barlow and George Cooper. There is no Fulham show next week because, of course, they have a game. They are playing Luton, so they will not be here. But they will be joining us the week after that and we will be talking everything where Fulham is concerned.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.